Okay, Siva was put in charge with all of his children and a staff of 15 to attend to all of Mephibosheth's needs. So when Siva accuses Mephibosheth in the eyes of David, using the impetus of this revolt to hope that the two sides kill each other and then he'll rule instead, David takes the bait and he accepts the Lashon Hara, and he tells Siva that the land I set aside for Mephibosheth is now yours. Okay. Mephibosheth, on his part, comes out to defend himself at the end of the revolt, and David doesn't fully accept his defense. He says, okay, split the field. At which time a heavenly voice comes out and says, split the field? How about if you split the kingdom? If you can so quickly, cavalierly just swat away a man's field just like this. So your grandson will behave in a similarly cavalier way when he dismisses the people who want him to lower taxes, and that will cause your kingdom to be split. Okay, so here we are. Let's get back into the parak. We're in Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav and Zayin. Ani shachafti v'ashina v'itosa ki Hashem yismachemi. Shachafti here means quite sure that you'll save me when I go to my sleep. So I have assurance that I will go to sleep peacefully. Now this could be a metaphor for dying peacefully. Right? You've heard that if you lived a righteous day, you'll sleep well at night. It's a metaphor for living a righteous life, and you'll die peacefully. Right? Greek philosophy all in its fullness taught that the acquisition of wisdom is so that you will not be afraid to die. Right? So the metaphors like this appear all over Tehillim. Okay, is that I am not, as much as I know I'm being chased, right, and chased by my own son. Right. So there's a gemara in the beginning of Brachos, maybe you recall, that wonders why a parak like this begins with the word mizmor. After all, mizmor is a joyful song. Remember, Kina l'David mibayalei. This parak should begin a dirge to David, a lamentation to David. Who writes a song about his son coming to rebel? Right. So the Gemara answers, because when David knew that there was going to be a sort of heck to pay for things he did, right? His family is going to be broken up, and the sword will chase after him. In the case of Avshalom, it's both of them are happening at the same time, right? So when David was expecting the worst, and when he saw that the sword was coming from his own family, he thought that this is cause for a mizmor. Okay, I'm getting my kapara from a good place. Do you remember another parak in Tehillim like this? But another gemara says this. This is in Brachos. This other gemara is in Sota that says chapter 79 of Tehillim is all about the Chorban. And that parak also begins with the word mizmor. Mizmor
says that because it's taken out of
Correct, exactly. Mizmor la'asaf. Mizmor la'asaf, kina la'asaf, mibayalei. It should be a dirge, a lamentation to asaf. It's a song to asaf. So it says, because God took out his anger on the stones and the base mikdash, the anger waxed less on people. Okay. All right, so he says, Ani shachafti b'ashina kitzosa ki Hashem yismachen. He means to say, I sleep calmly, because I know this will end well. You know, that's a cold comfort when you're in the middle of the. He says, "Lo iram mi rivavos am asher saviv shasu alai." I'm not worried about these rivavos, these tens of thousands. Right. Nonetheless, I still expect to die peacefully. Okay. Now, this may be something that is directly in Shmuel Bet. When Hushai Ha'arki, went to be the double agent I described about 20 minutes ago to try to convince Achitophel, no, tonight is not a good night to pounce on David. I just came from the camp. If you think it's good advice, Avshalom, I know he usually gives good advice, but this time he doesn't. That's how he phrased it. He said, this time Achitophel is not giving you good advice because I just came from the camp. If you go tonight, now, David was in no way, shape, or form capable of repelling an attack that night. He was anything but what Hushai Ha'arki said. In fact, Hushai said to David, don't sleep here tonight. Go to escape further away, because if he comes tonight, you're all dead. I'm going to go over there and try to convince him not to. Right? So this part of this revolt was, sleeping here is not going to be safe for you. So David said, okay, I took that advice and I slept someplace else, and there I had safety. Okay. It's interesting, it's fascinating the way Mefarshim tried to fit the different pratim of there's something I said intuitively the first night. It's Medrash Tehillim in chapter 18 that says that the pratim of David's life, specific events in David's life, serve as paradigms for all of Klal Yisrael. And as I compare it to Yirmiyahu, that's exactly chapter 3 of Eicha, Ani Hagever, is all about events in Yirmiyahu's life. And they all parallel events occurring to the whole nation. Okay, Vaito, let's turn this to Perek. Kuma Hashem Hoshieni Elokai, ki kises kol avaylechi, shinei reshoim shibarta. It comes right out. He says that he speaks as if the God did this already. See, he says, Kisa. See, Kisa is called Avalech. Wait a second. Hashem hadn't done that yet. And in fact, the revolt ended not because.
Before we were talking about the future.
Yeah, but now he's speaking in the past as if though this has happened. This is the nature of his bitachon. Or he can say, save me now as you've saved me in the past. You saved me from that bear, you saved me from that lion, you saved me from Goliath, you saved me from Shaul. The way you smote my enemies in the past, you smote the Philistines, you smote the Moabites, so David knows he has kapara on his cheshbon. He knows that this has to, I need to atone for what I did. But he realizes that his cause is just, and that the other side, call it Achitophel or call it Avshalom, is not. Okay, so since he realizes his cause is just, he realizes that God is just. So he has an unparalleled bitachon. This is a parak that I put up in the category of strong bitachon. Right? There's some chapters where he says, I don't believe I'll survive. I don't believe I deserve to survive. Right? But this chapter, this chapter may reflect knowledge of Hushai Ha'arki's success or his mission. Now David is not only hoping, but gave instruction that the revolt should not end with the death of the person rebelling. He knows that this revolt has turned deadly. He knows by now he's not just chasing after a brother, he's chasing after me. Right? So that the... But he still commands. I don't have to guess what he's praying for here. He commands his soldiers not to touch a hair on Avshalom's head. Right? But there's one man in Israel, there's one man from the beginning of Shmuel Bet who is such a profound live wire. He is so unpredictable. Please tell me as soon as you know who I'm talking about. I'm sorry?
Yeah,
Yoav, of course, yes. Avner, who wants to make peace with David and deliver the whole kingdom to David, and Yoav kills him. And the Mefarshim ask, how could Avner,
Jack, can you speak a little more of that? It's frightening. How could Avner, a seasoned
killer himself, a general. He must be savvy. How could he be secluded alone with Yoav? He knows Yoav wants to kill him, not least of which that he's about to take his place, but also Avner killed his brother. Remember that? Remember that story? Yeah, so how could Avner be so ignorant about Yoav's intentions? He knows Yoav wants him dead. Because right, Avner can't fathom how could Yoav be such a live wire to so compromise the things, to so compromise the beginning of David's reign by right the same day that I came to make a peace treaty with David, that he's a very high profile relative. Remember, Yoav is also David's nephew, and his chief of staff, at the head of his army, is going to take out Avner. That's why David cries such a strong dirge afterwards. In the end of the chapter, it says, and everyone in Israel knew that David did not order the hit on Avner. Right? So here, David says, no one shall touch a hit on Avshalom's head. And Yoav kills him. What? David should have killed Yoav for killing Avner. And he doesn't kill Yoav for killing Avshalom. And then he kills Amasa. David doesn't do anything to Yoav. He only gives command to Shlomo. And I've told Vayechi to take care of Yoav. Right? Why? What power does Yoav have over him? Because I sort of
I
left one person out before. I said that only Nasan and Bathsheba knew what happened. Yoav did too. But at least, you know, you don't have to be too savvy that if, you know, a king sends the head of the army, you know, send in, Uriah is not just a regular private. You know? He didn't think it was unusual to be called back from the front to report. He was one of David's 37 chief generals, as appears at the end of Shmuel Bet. So to have a person like that killed, to order Yoav to have him killed, and then right away, not waiting 3 months, but Vayavor Ahavel after the Shiva, David goes and collects the man's wife. Come on. Yoav has that letter in his possession. Yoav has the letter in his possession with a note to David that says, if I die violently,
hello.
You know, 50 people who know what that letter is.
Okay, what's doing?
Poor people like that always let other people know the danger in crossing.
Mute yourselves. Ava, we can hear you.
No matter who it is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So but David does feel that his case is just.
Yeah.
And that he.
Yeah. You know, he was. Oh, yeah, called me last week and she said.
Please mute yourselves.
He probably should have, but I would suspect that Yoav's mother. Yoav's mother probably interceded. Yoav's mother was true. His father may have been dead at the time. Yeah. Or the reason why he's known as Yoav ben Tsruya is because if your mother is the king's sister, you're going to be called Yoav ben Tsruya.
Right.
And his father's name is Yoav.
I don't know.
So Tsruya,
whoever is speaking, please mute yourself.
She's like, you know,
please mute yourself. Your voice is coming through.
You know, in that war game that they had remember what I'm talking about? Avner killed him. I already lost a son. Don't do this. Remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about whether Yoav had the right to kill Avner as a blood avenger. Avner claimed self-defense. But Yoav said, if it was self-defense, why did you have to kill him in the Chomesh? Right? In that war game that they were fighting, right? Okay, let's turn to Perek Daled, please. Again, we have he's turning to Hashem. Amnatzeach b'neginos mizmor l'David. Okay, Negina, you know, is a song. Okay, great type of instrument. A menatzeach is, since this is the first time we ever saw this word, the word appears in Kofin and Tehillim, 55 Prakim in the word Lam Natzeach, and it introduces all kinds of songs, all kinds of titles, we'll see. And it appears in one place outside of Tehillim, the Sefer Habakkuk. And it's in Menatzeach is usually translated to the conductor. Yeah, for the conductor. Menatzeach, he's the one conducting, ruling over everybody else in the band. In the symphony. Okay. Korea Neni Elokei Tzidki. Elokei Tzidki means my God always does the righteous thing, or always does the right thing. But maybe sometimes he's humble. I don't deserve righteous. I don't deserve your kindness and your grace. But let's see what he's asking for. It says, Bukhari Aneni. Right? Aneni usually signifies something, doing something quickly. A few times in this book, you have the terminology Maher Aneni. Remember who very famously says, Aneni Hashem Aneni. Eliyahu, when calling down the fire from heaven to swoop up his korban. Okay? So, B'kori Aneni Elokei Tzidki, Batzor Yerchavtali, Chaneni Ushmat Vilasi. Now, Batzor is a very common terminology in this book. Tzor is Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzora, right? Tehillim chapter 106, which goes through all of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it ends, Batzar Lahem. Whenever they're in trouble, God appears for them and takes care of them. Batzar Lahem is words that appear in the Torah reading for Tisha B'Av morning. Okay? And this is the most important example for you to remember, is that Tehillim chapter 107, which is the source of Benchin Gomel, refers to four different types of groups that are in big trouble. And they call out to God each time, Batsar Lohem. People call out, who are the four groups?
The sailors.
Sailors crossing a body of water.
Across the desert.
Incarceration. And those who are sick in general threat to life. And we did all four of those when we left Egypt. So it connects to chapter 106, which ends Batsar Lohem, the paradigm of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Batsar Lohem. And that's in the past. But God is also there with us, for us in the future. And in our daily existential problems, and that's why we bench Gomel and bring the carbon to. Okay, so that's the Tsar, Marabut Sarai, Rabim Kamimalai. I'm sorry, that was repeated. Batsar Hirchavta li Chaneni Ushmat Filasi. Hirchavta means, you see the pun, there's a pun, but it's a dichotomy. Tsar also means min ha-metzar, to narrow the way. Bein ha-metzarim, kol oivel hisigua bein ha-metzarim. That's what we call the days between Shiva Serpatamus and Tisha B'Av, the bein ha-metzarim, between the narrow places. So you, someone's in a tight spot. Have you heard of that terminology? So that's a tight spot. You're in a narrow place. You're a tsar. So how do you help someone who's in a tight spot? Rechavta. See? Rechav. Open it up for me, God. Yeah. Right. So when Yitzchak finally dug a well that produced, he called the place Rechavot. Ki atahir chiv Hashem lanu ufarinu va'aretz. So Rechavia, Rechavot, cities like that in Israel is bringing home that idea. So Tzorai is opposite the Tzor Hechavtali, okay. B'nei ish admek vodi l'chli ma tehavun rik tevakshu chazav sara. Another sara, three times already. Okay, b'nei ish is a terminology that does not appear too often in Tehillim. But it does appear in a very common parak that you're probably familiar. It's the parak we say in a mourner's home. Familiar with chapter 49. It says, Gam b'nei Adam, Gam b'nei Ish. What is that? Who are the b'nei Adam and who are the b'nei Ish? I mean, some of the Neanderthals and some of the... What's the b'nei Adam and what's the b'nei Ish? Right? This is an amazing exercise. Try to get your hands on 10 different translations of Tehillim, and each one is going to say something else. Yoshve Choled. What do you think that means? Yoshve Choled. Referring to man. Those who reside in the Choled. Right? A Cholda is called a weasel because it goes, it digs into the Choled. Choled is earth. Is the dust. We're Yoshve Choled because we're destined to return to that. Right? So, it's interesting. I think that a modern word for rust, to rust, is chaluda, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's interesting because that's what causes something to rust is oxidization, which is what causes us to grow, grow old, meaning into rust. We become rusty, right? And we can turn back the oxidization with antioxidants. Right, drink palm juice and take coffee and black chocolate. So certain foods have a high antioxidants, so it puts off that aging process. So in chapter 49, you have all these different words for mankind because the parak is talking about dying. Right, we're all going to die. Right, so bnei ish usually refers to common man. Bnei adam is usually reserved for sort of the upper crust, higher level, right? So Bnei Ish in Perek Dalet is the common folk. This is a message for everybody. Right? Okay. So he's speaking about people mocking my faith. They think that my faith is not well placed because I have no reason to have faith. It's 9:07. Okay. All right. So people don't think that I have misplaced faith. So Tvakshu Chazav Sela means that it's all Chazav, Ko Adam Kozev, means it's all disappointment. Udu'uki Hifla Hashem Chasid Lav, Hashem Yishma V'Koreh Lav. But they should know, that's what he's saying here, they should know, du'u, if only they knew. And here it says, Ki Hifla Hashem Chasid Lav. Now, you may be familiar with the same Gemara I cited before about David Navshalom. The Gemara that talks about David calling himself a chassid. The Gemara quotes a different parak, but he's calling himself a chassid here. God knows his chassid. God knows how to save a chassid. So, the Gemara considers lulei hamanti leros b'tuv Hashem to be contradictory, right? But I don't know. I'm going to leave it at this, that David does consider himself to be a chassid. We'll see when we get up to chapter 27 what might stand in the way. So he says, my advice. Yeah, chassid love. People who are chassid, acting as a chassid to him.
And it means people who are yearning to be close to God. Maybe
it
doesn't mean that's so successful that they're actually.
Okay, I hear. In other words, I may not be an actual chassid, but I'm trying to be. Hashem Yishma B'Kari Elav, but God should hear me when I call out to Him because I'm sincere. Okay, now do you remember what the Gemara in the beginning of Brachas does with this next pasuk? What halacha do we learn from it? Mikzu Bal Techatzo Imu Bivavchem Al Mishkavchem V'Domu Sela. Very famous. Dafhei Amud Aleph, right at the top of the page. This is the pasuk that teaches that we say.
We say it in
Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema
Alamita. I just said
Kriyat Shema before we go to sleep. Right? What is the metaphor, though? Remember about a half hour ago I mentioned if you have a calm day, an easy, good day, where you know you did the right things, you'll sleep easy that night. Sleep restfully on your pillow. It's a metaphor for living a good life. Your sleep, your death will be you'll approach death with calmness, without doubts, So this pasuk is referring to do tshuva before bedtime on a nightly basis, which is called Kriyat Shema Lamita, v'domu, and you be quiet, you be humble, domu seva, right? Another seva. Okay, so according to this, this is a nightly mitzvah. Do this al mishkavchem before you go to sleep.
That's a shari tshuva.
Oh, did that you mention? Okay, but this is okay. But it's a gemara. Okay, so v'domu means go to sleep, or v'domu means die. My v'domu means yomein, be like a rock because you're dying. And therefore, domain, yeah. All right, so he's saying that it's again talking about my advice to you is Rigzu Bal Techto. Just should be in a state of trembling and let that drive you in the right direction with regards to your sins. Don't just do the talk, do the walk also. Right? So this is an interesting early rebuke where he says, Zivchu Zivchei Tzedek uvitchu al Hashem. Very fascinating pasuk, because you're going to see two prakim in Tehillim, chapter 40 and chapter 50, where he says, God doesn't really want our sacrifices. But he's saying, God wants the sacrifices of righteous people. Zivchu zivchei tzedek uvitchu el Hashem. Right? Do the talk, right? But also do the walk. Bring the korbanos, but be righteous too. Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Amos, Hoshea, and so many others spoke about people who act in an evil manner and think that by bringing a korban, they can atone for their evil.
But you expect to say to be pro korban because he's hearing the base of Mikdash to be built. There are no korbanos.
Okay, no, they have
Shiloh.
It's Givon, right? Now it's standing at Givon. Shiloh was destroyed. No,
okay,
was destroyed.
He's looking forward to a much higher level of korbanos.
Yeah,
much fuller.
That's going to be chapter 132. Yeah, we say a lot of psukim in that parak. When we take out the Torah, we put back the Torah. Take a look at chapter 132. It's a big chapter. One of the Shir HaMalos is at the end. Okay, so let's finish it up. Rabbim Omrim, Mi Yireini Tov, Nisa'ol Leinu Or Panecha Hashem. Right, so again, remember we saw in Parak Gimel, Rabbim Omrim, remember that? Pasuk Gimel? Here again he's saying, it's Pasuk Zion, Dalet Zion, as we saw Gimel. See it? Rabbim Omrim, a lot of people say that I don't deserve this. People wonder if I'll make it.
It says that Radak explains his words and supporters of Hashem.
Okay. Right now, the people say they're wondering now if I'm going to. When they appointed David King in Shmuel Bet Perek Hey, they said, we always knew you were the right person to be king, you know, but that didn't get them to support him when Shaul was running after. Right. It's interesting when it says, you see where it says here, Rabbi Momir, Miyar Eni Tov, Nisa Aleinu Or Panecha Hashem. Now, Nisa with a Samach seems to be to test. But Nisa can also be to uplift.
Is a banner.
Yeah. So it's a banner because it's clear for everyone all to see. It's lifted up for everybody to see. So Nisa, like, Yisa Hashem Panah Be'lecha, right?
It's the same thing as we do this.
Yair Hashem Panah. So it's you see Yisa Aleinu Or Panecha Yair. It's a little bit of.
So it's the same. Essentially, the same as Nun Sin Aleph.
Yes. Rashi, not Rashi. Sad you're going where it says the Lakim Yisa is Avram. He says he lifted up Avram through this story, even though it's Nun Samach. Hey. He reads it as if though it's Nun Sin Aleph. That the two can be the same. But there's a little hint to the Birchas Kohanim here. Right? They say I have no chance to see anything good. But I say that God is here for me. Nasata Simcha Balibi Meis Tiglanam Visir Hashem Rabu. Shalom yachdav eshkavav ha'yishan ki ato Hashem levadav levetach toshivim. Right? So live your days that you can sleep comfortable at night. All right? And day here, once again, is a metaphor for the whole your whole life. Okay, so this is beautiful ending of Perek Dalet that plugs into Kriyat Shema Lamita. Right? Kriyat Shema Lamita is at its core, it's meant to give you a restful night's sleep. That if the last thing you do before you go to sleep is say words of Torah, it'll protect you from the mazikin. Gemara was well aware of, that's what Brachas in the ninth parak talks about, all these dreams and nightmares and all these predictions. Right? So the Gemara wants people to have a restful night, and that dreams serve as a good omen for you, and not for negativity. So here it's all a metaphor for the whole life. Each day is the life, and the sleep is the death. Okay. Now, I have to say, along these lines, there's a whole nother approach to this parak that Bnei Ish, like in Tehillim Mem Tes, against those who would collect treasures. That's not the tzedek.
That's what?
Treasures, they collect things, they collect home, they collect possessions that they don't deserve to have. Okay? The true pursuit is of happiness, however, is not what you acquire. Right? I saw a bumper sticker recently. It says, the one with the most toys at the end of the game is the winner. It's the one, but you don't get to take those toys with you. Right? So David says that the happiness will come from living a moral life, which is really the conclusion of Kohelis, of the Varkon Nishma Selukim Yura. Not to be an amel, to work and to accomplish and to build that alone without any rest from that is not going to give you happiness. Not to be a nehne, like chapter 2 says, a mascha b'yayin, women and so on. Right? That's not going to work either, because it's just your mosif, because you can't, at some point in your life, you're not going to be able to do it anymore, you can't afford it anymore. And I could afford it my whole life, and it didn't give me any meaning either. Then there's the chacham, but in mosif chachma, mosif machov. What is going to give someone meaning in life? So a lot of Koheles emerges from these kind of prakim and tehillim that are known as the wisdom, the sapiential prakim of tehillim, which I would say were mostly probably written late in David's life, like Koheles, like in Shlomo's life, late in David's life. Okay. All right. That's the Perek Dalet. We'll have just a short little break.
Thank you.
We'll start with the Minchas Chinuch. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Leon, happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Leon, yeah, unmute yourself.
Could you go over once again, Selah? Samech Lamed means to raise up.
I'm not sure why I can't hear you.
Hold on. Can you hear me now? No?